Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com, where we cover the Minnesota Vikings. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor of the Viking Age. And I'm joined, as always, by Chris Shad, who writes for us here at the Viking Age, as well as his own coverage. And bring me the news. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to our channel and like this video. We greatly appreciate that. And then follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. And then the audio version of this podcast will be available in the morning on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. Excuse my voice. I'm a little under the weather. The sickness has been going around my home and it's caught up to me. So I will be consuming cough drops throughout this show, but that's what you got to do. Before we get started, I just wanted to wish a very special happy birthday today to Mr. Fred Smoot, known mostly for his off-the-field antics during his tenure with the Vikings. I think he was only with the Vikings for two seasons. But very memorable. Very, very memorable 2 years with the Vikings. So happy birthday, Fred Smoot. Hope it's a good one.
Very close to my birthday, which was on Friday. So right. It's nice to know we technically share a birthday week if you go right out the other way.
Yeah. Maybe you guys should celebrate it on a boat.
I do have a pond in my backyard now. I don't know if you could get like a boat on there.
Nah, you can't get I don't even remember what the boat was called. I don't know.
Oh God, I can't even remember. I should know it because I've seen the documentary, but yeah.
First off, before we get into some kind of significant Vikings news today, is something that happened over the weekend. KJ Osborne on Twitter.com kind of responded to a fan who labeled him as a quality receiver, or not a quality receiver, I'm sorry. And KJ kind of responded and was like, you know, can you, what exactly is a quality receiver? And this guy tried to like backpedal and everything, and it just didn't work out. And the Vikings official account got involved. The Caleb Evans got involved, Josh Metellus, a bunch of other players. And it was, an interesting time this weekend on Vikings Twitter.
I'd call it a gong show, to be specific.
To say the least. What is KJ Osborne in your mind? Is he a quality receiver?
Let's start with the incidents in general, because I have a hard time talking about this, because honestly, we're giving attention to someone who does not deserve it.
Right. That's why I didn't say any name.
That's why he's called a fan and not a reporter like he thinks he is.
Yeah.
So the thing is, the fan said nothing wrong. I don't think he did. I think the Vikings do have a problem with depth at receiver. Where KJ Osborne got upset is that he believed that he was not being called a quality receiver.
Right.
What is your definition of quality? If your definition of quality is a number three receiver, yes, KJ Osborne is a quality receiver from what we've seen. As a number two receiver, I have questions. I have questions because I haven't seen it. You know, I mean, in his mind, of course he thinks he's a number two receiver. I mean, if he didn't think so, I'd have questions about him and everything else moving forward. But the guy has never had a 700-yard season, I believe. I believe it's either 700 or 800.
700, I think.
Yes, so he's finished just under 700 yards the last 2 years. Most of his production last year came in one game against the Colts. like nearly a third of his production. He had another big game, I think it was against the Bears, but they were tanking and trying to get the number one overall pick. So like they did not care about that game. For Osborne, it's kind of like, I would just focus on proving people like me wrong, because I wouldn't go as far as saying like, no, you can't play wide receiver, blah, blah, blah. But right. I have concerns about him as a number two, because like I said, we haven't seen him play as well as, you know, some of the other receivers on this team. And like the other thing, if you have him as your number two receiver, do I think he can do it? Yes. I think KJ Osborne can perform in that role. But you have to also think, what happens if somebody gets, so let's say Justin Jefferson turns an ankle.
Yeah.
Do you want KJ Osborne as your number one receiver?
Yeah,
and then as your number two receiver, you have Jalen Naylor or something like that. And of course, in the locker room, they're going to say, oh yeah, we believe in Jalen Naylor. But then all of a sudden they'll get on the field and go like, this was a really bad idea. This isn't going so well, especially, you know, in a season where you want to be super competitive. So I think that the Vikings, if they want to march in with KJ Osborne with a number two, it's fine. But they have to upgrade behind him if that's the plan, because I don't think they have too many receivers that can step in.
Yeah. I think as far as being the second receiver, I think it's a role that, you know, he can do. He can do okay with it I think he could be the number two receiver, but still be the third option as far as like in terms of Justin Jefferson's number one, TJ Hawkins is number two, and then KJ Osborne can be number three. Because you look at his numbers, he's had over 50 catches the last 2 years. And that was after the first year when he didn't even get any offensive snaps. So he's been progressing, and he's been progressing in the right direction. You know, they wouldn't have beat the Lions last year, in overtime without KJ Osborne. They wouldn't have beat the Colts without KJ Osborne. So like, he
got the game-winning touchdown against the Panthers last year, I believe. 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
2021, yeah.
So he can make an impact. And last year, I would argue even that he made a bigger impact than Adam Thielen.
Which is weird when you think about it, because then why didn't KJ get time ahead of Adam Thielen?
Right.
Like, that's where it's kind of weird to me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, too. And I think, but I think KJ Osborne's young enough where he can still progress and get better. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that's going to like shake a defender out of their shoes or whatever, but he's good at getting the space, you know, where there's spots to be open, catching the ball. I don't really remember him having trouble catching the ball. I know he had that drop or whatever in the playoffs against the Giants, but even Kirk Cousins admitted that throw was on him because I was behind him. So I wouldn't even put that on KJ Osborne. But yeah, as far as number two receiver goes, I think the Vikings might be approaching the draft with receivers similarly to how they're going to approach it with quarterback, where if there's a guy that they like, maybe they'll go, maybe trade up a few spots and get him. But if there's, you know, if there's receivers still on the board at 23, and they're like, oh, we need a receiver, we got to draft one no matter what, I don't think they're going to do that. I think, you know, they know what they have in KJ Osborne. They know what they have in TJ Hawkinson. They have Justin Jefferson already, obviously. And like you said, they like Jalen Naylor. So I don't know if receiver is like this gigantic priority if there isn't a guy on the board that they like. And we've seen receivers in the second and third and fourth round make an impact as well in the draft recently. So what do you think the chances are of him opening up, though, as the number two receiver for the Vikings next season?
I think they're good.
Yeah.
Like I think Kevin O'Connell likes him. I think the coaching staff has a sense of familiarity with him. And I think Kevin O'Connell was quoted, and I can't remember where it was, but he said something like he's looking for complementary pieces to put around Justin Jefferson. I don't think he's looking for a second alpha, which makes me think that they're not going to take a guy in the first round just to take a guy in the first round. Now that's where the quality receivers are. Especially now where teams are using earlier picks on receivers because it's a premium position. But I mean, in this draft, when I look at this class, and I entered the offseason pretty high on it, but you know, Quentin Johnson, that's a guy the Vikings are looking at. There's a lot of question marks there. He had a decent 40 time. I don't know. A lot of people just, I don't know, something seems off. The vibe is off, Chief, right? Then you have Jordan Addison, who was awesome at Pittsburgh. He was with a guy that could scheme open and Mark Whipple. He was with a first round quarterback prospect in Kenny Pickett, who may or may not should have had gone in the first round.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not even a sentence, but you get what I'm saying. Like, there's just a lot of prospects that have that yeah, but, and you always have that, but it seems like a bigger yeah, but than in previous years. So if the Vikings wanted to go into a season with KJ Osborne as that number two, like I said, that's fine. you have to bolster what's behind KJ Osborne in case of injury, because Jalen Naylor can't come in as your number three. Jalen Naylor can't be promoted to your number two if he is. And again, he's another player. I haven't seen it yet. Could he do the same thing that KJ Osborne did and like just explode on the scene? Sure. But remember this time last year, we were talking about Amir Smith-Marset, and we're just like, yeah, that guy's going to take a giant leap. He was cut by the end of training camp. So yeah, I think that's the theory, man. I subscribe to it too. It's just like one more receiver. You always have to look for one more receiver. And that's what the Rams did when they brought in Odell Beckham a couple years ago, because they had Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. And they're like, let's bring in Odell just in case. Then Robert Woods tore his ACL like as soon as the plane landed in LA. So yeah, yeah. I would take another receiver, but I could also see them being comfortable with KJ Osborne in that second.
Yeah, I think you have to worry about injuries because it's football and they're going to happen regardless. So you can't just depend on Justin Jefferson being healthy for the full season again in his career. He's been very durable despite getting like banged up every week. And KJ Osborne, I think he's missed a few games with injury. So you can't really count on that because you never know with football. But then at the same time, I think if one of those guys goes down during the season, I think Kwesi Adofo-Mensah has shown already that he's willing to, you know, do whatever he needs to maybe trade for somebody if they have to. So if Justin Jefferson goes down for a significant period of time, I would be surprised if Adofo-Mensah didn't like try and trade for a legit number two or like a 1B kind of receiver just to make up for the loss. I still think someone like T.J. Hockenson would step in and be like Cousins' top target, but you have to think about the backup plans, especially in football, because you just don't know. You never know. Things can change in a split second, just as Teddy Bridgewater. Oh, man, my throat is ridiculous. Speaking of last thing on this topic, if Bijan Robinson, we talked about him in the past, you talked about him, why the Vikings should consider drafting him, running back out of Texas. If he or any of the top 2023 receiver prospects are still available at the 23rd pick, which the Vikings have. So let's say all the receivers are on the board and Bijan Robinson for whatever reason. What do you think the Vikings should do?
If they have to take one or the other, you know, I'm going to get slapped by some like analytics people. I would take Bijan. He's the best prospect on the board compared to the wide receiver. And I know what the position is. You're getting rid of Dalvin Cook. I mean, it's not on the outline.
Not
today,
even an OTA,
he's literally gone fishing. He's at a fishing tournament. Yeah. That is where Dalvin Cook is right now. And his agent
are speaking in the past
on podcasts, looking like he's going to go take Jager bombs with Johnny Drama somewhere.
He's speaking in past tense already. He's saying Dalvin was in Minnesota. So he's pretty much already, they've moved on.
Can I go on a quick rant about that? Because sure. That was super interesting to me.
So, Hall of Famer Dalvin Cook? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. First of all, Zach Hiller said the wrong number when it comes to, I think he said he had 104 yards per game. He actually had 80. He had like his like 82 and
107. I think he said.
Okay. Yeah. The good thing for Cook is I think there's like 12 running backs in NFL history since the merger that have had more rushing yards per game. And 8 of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. So statistically, yes, that's a thing. But I mean, the thing that kind of got me was his shoulder. Like they're talking about Dalvin's been protecting the shoulder and whatever. Then why wasn't it fixed?
Right.
Like that. That's the part that confuses me, because if you go back in time, and I'm not saying this was the case. I am speculating. You know, 2019, he hurts the shoulder. Right. Comes back after a couple of games. You know, Mike Zimmer probably was like, "I'm gonna cut you if you don't play," and he's like, "Okay, fine." Goes into 2020. He's looking for a new contract. Doesn't get it fixed. So he's saying, yeah, the Vikings knew about the shoulder injury when they worked out the new contract. Well, yeah, because it never got fixed. And it's like, why is this happening? Because if he did get it fixed, could the Vikings have come back and say, well, yeah, you just got surgery on your shoulder. We don't really know what's going to happen. So you play through it in 2020. You put up monster numbers, like monster numbers, because all Mike Zimmer wanted to do was run the ball. Yep. The following year, you still don't get it fixed. You run again, big year under Mike Zimmer, right? Mm-hmm. And in 2022, you come back. Kevin O'Connell has this big plan to use Dalvin Cook wherever. Lines him up at wide receiver, lines him up all over the place. I think it was, the Lions game, the third game of the year. He bows out because he gets his shoulder banged up because he's not wearing its harness. Like he forgot to defrost the chicken or something when he was making dinner. Like, Like, and now he gets it. Now he gets it fixed.
Yeah.
When coincidentally there is a $2 million clause in his contract. And you know what? Here's the thing. Go get your money, man. Especially as a running back, they are looking for any reason not to pay you, because Kyle Shanahan has gone to the community college and started every running back, and they've had a 100-yard game. Although he traded for Christian McCaffrey, let's not forget about that. Yeah. It's just like you can't sit there and use the shoulder as an excuse when you've been negligent towards it for the past 4 years. And maybe I'm sure he would shoot back with some bigger story or something else that's in there. And the other thing too, it's like, well, if he was in a bigger market, whatever. No, that it doesn't work that way in the NFL.
No.
Like, this is
Green Bay, this giant market.
Yeah, this isn't baseball. Yeah, everybody knows who Aaron Rodgers is, even though he plays in the middle of nowhere in this small little town,
Buffalo, huge shithole
in Washington, or excuse me, Wisconsin. Like, it's just stupid. Like, yeah. The whole argument is just dumb. So I hope Dalvin finds a good place.
Yeah.
They're talking about cutting him now, which is really bonkers.
Well, that's basically a last effort. Either from his agent or the team being like, hey, he's going to get cut, so he's going to be able to sign with whatever team he wants. So if you want him, you better trade for him before they cut.
The Vikings have basically tipped their hand to the point everybody knows he's not playing. And at that point, why would you give up anything for him? Like, if you know he's going to get cut, like,
you would give up something if you don't want him to sign. Like say, you think he's going to sign with the Dolphins and the Bills want him, so the Bills would try and
give you a seventh. But I mean, they're not going to give you like a fourth or fifth. I'm sure that's what the Vikings wanted at the beginning. So I don't know. I just thought the whole thing was really interesting. And
I will give Mr. Hill credit. He did say 107 total yards. Dalvin's average.
Okay.
I just checked, and that is correct. He has averaged 107 total yards per game over his career. That's the number.
And I looked at rushing yards only. So my apologies.
Total yards. Well, it matters, especially when you're talking about someone like Bijan Robinson, who I think.
Yeah.
I want to say his coach, Steve Sarkisian, at Texas, talked about how he was probably the best receiver on their roster as well. So, you know, when you draft someone like Bijan Robinson, you're not just getting a running back. You're getting someone who can, you know, we talk about Dalvin lining up in the slot or out wide. Bijan Robinson can, you know, if KJ Osborne or Justin Jefferson goes down, he can make up for that, you know, that absence as well. If you add someone like him to your roster, I don't think he's going to be there at 23. I think somebody's going to want to get him because he's just too talented. And at the price that you can get him right now for the amount of production, the immediate impact that running backs make as rookies, I think his value is just too high to fall to 23. So that's it on KJ Osborne. So today, Vikings players reported to voluntary OTAs for the first time. I don't think they did anything. I just think they reported and probably had like a meeting or something. But
it's like, what is it in college? Like the first orientation day, syllabus day. Like they just give you like the grade thing and
move in day.
Yeah. I'm Mr. Shad. Here's your syllabus. Yeah. This is what I'm expecting from you.
Yeah, pretty much. I think they start working out I think they're doing like conditioning and weightlifting or whatever until rookie minicamp.
With Mike Zimmer, they like walked in and they're just like, all right, you guys are going to run gassers for the next 2 hours.
Yeah. So one person who's not there, along with Dalvin Cook, who's not there, who we mentioned is still fishing in Florida, probably, is Danielle Hunter, who actually I think is hanging out with Eric Kendricks. They're driving around their cars. They're pretty into like high-end sports cars like Porsches and stuff.
Is it like...
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fast and Furious, just like
kind of, yeah. They like this. They like the sporty cars. They don't like the souped up ones. They like the nice cars, like the Porsches and stuff like that. But they're kind of like a. I follow the two of them on Instagram. They go around like looking at high end cars, and so he's probably doing that because Neil Hunter is not at voluntary Vikings OTAs, and he's not expected to be there, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler today. And it mostly has to do with Hunter's contract, because Danielle Hunter, a three-time Pro Bowler who has, you know, ranks among the top sack leaders in Vikings history, is only due to make $5.5 million in 2023, which is $250,000, just only $250,000 more than Garrett Bradbury, less than Byron Murphy, who they just signed, and less than the blocking tight end Josh Oliver they signed. So he would like a new contract. Not surprising, but I think his deal was always set up this way to negotiate a new contract or figure out a way to move on. But right now, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most concerned, what is your concern level when it comes to the current relationship between the Vikings and Hunter?
Like, we just don't know, right? Yeah. It's maybe a 7. Like, they worked it out last year because the Wolves basically said, hey, we want to run everything back and prove that Mike Zimmer was the problem, right? So they gave him $18 million. I mean, 2 years ago, Rick Spielman, what he basically did was just put a Band-Aid over the situation, right? And he's like, all right, your agent screwed you over. Like, here's, I don't remember the exact amount, but they gave him a lot of money up front, like immediately. Like, he showed up to OTAs and they just had a truck like, this going to do it? Yeah, that'll be fine. And then he, you know, did the whole rigmarole at OTAs. This is such an interesting situation because he's 28 years old. He's had a couple of years with a couple of bad injuries, the torn pec, and then he had the neck injury, the tweak, back in 2020. Yeah. But, I mean, he still is one of the best pass rushers in the league when it comes to pressures. He's one of the top defensive players on the Vikings, which low bar after last year, but yeah. He is one of the NFL's top players, and I'm sure after years of being kind of screwed with that contract, which he signed, by the way, he probably wants some more money, especially when you see a guy like Bradley Chubb get the contract that he got from the Dolphins. Danielle Hunter's probably sitting there going like, well, I should get that. Von Miller, too. He's, what, 33, 34, got a 6-year deal from the Buffalo Bills. I know a lot of it's a lot of funny money in the back, but, I mean, he still sees that and goes, yeah, I would like that, please, because I am one of the best players on this team. So at that point, you have to ask yourself, what is the time horizon, in Kwesi's words, that they're on? Does a 28-year-old edge rusher who probably has 2-3 years of good production left, is that player worth giving a top-of-the-market contract to? Because I'm sure that's what Hunter's going to try and get, is a top-of-the-market contract. If the answer is no, you try and trade him because he's one of your best trade chips. And again, you need picks, especially if we're talking about this whole, you know, are the Vikings going to trade up for a quarterback thing? If you're going to trade up to 3, you got to get some draft capital to build around that quarterback because there's a lot of holes on the roster. So 7 seems high, but it seems legit because we just don't know what's going on over there right now.
Yeah, I would say it's a 6 because I think we all knew this was coming. Like, no one, Jeremy Fowler sent out this tweet, and I don't think anyone was like, oh my God, like, he's not going to OTAs. Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's getting $5 million a year. He's not even getting double digits in cash this year. And he's worth more than that. Everyone knows that. So it wasn't very surprising. But yeah, he's getting up there. He's in NFL wise, he's getting up there. He's 28, which is 7 years younger than me. So obviously, you know, he's getting up there in football age, not real life age.
He's finally getting up there too. It's like, yeah, there was like a 5-year stretch where it's like, Danielle Hunter's only 24.
I think he was 20 when he was drafted, right?
Yeah, he was super young. Like, he turned 20 that October of the year he was drafted. So he was drafted as a 19-year-old.
Right. So
that might be wrong. Maybe it was 1 year up. But I mean,
either way, he's been in the league forever and he's still only 28. So he's got that going for him. So he's probably worth like another decent contract. But yeah, if you're the Vikings and you're in this position where you're going to have to pay Justin Jefferson, you're going to have to pay Hockenson, you got to pay Darisaw. Do you really want to invest, you know, another lucrative extension in a a 28-year-old pass rusher who has a history of, you know, getting significant injuries in the last 2 years. I think what Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah have done, maybe, or have at least tried to do, is model themselves after kind of the Belichick style of not keeping guys longer than they should, like getting rid of guys before they end up becoming a problem. They didn't do that with Thielen. They didn't do that with Kendricks. So I'll give that to them. But they kind of did it with Patrick Peterson. They could have brought Patrick Peterson back. He played decent last year. They could have brought him back and signed him to a cheap deal, but he's getting older and you're not going to give money to that guy. You got younger guys that need experience and playing time. So, you know, if the Vikings move on from Hunter, I wouldn't be surprised. I think he's the best asset they have trade-wise that they can get between him and Dalvin Cook and Za'Darius Smith. I think Daniel Hunter can get you the most in return. And I don't know if investing in him at this point in his career is smart when you have so much other things to do. So are the Vikings better off trading Hunter, you know, this year or signing him to an extension? What are your thoughts on that?
I think they're better with him than without, but what's the plan for this year? Right. They talk about how, yeah, we want to compete. We don't want to do this whole tanking thing that Chicago did. But I mean, like I said, Hunter's going to get a lot of money. It's going to be north of $100 million. Like, whatever it is. And I mean, that might even lower the trade value that you get back. Like, what do the Vikings want to do? If they want to treat 2023 as a, let's just throw it out there and see what happens type of year. Because that's what it seems like they're doing, right? With all these cuts. Like, if they're thinking about, you know, going back to Dalvin Cook, if they're thinking about trading Dalvin Cook or just straight up cutting him, it's clear they are indifferent on 2023. I don't want to say they don't care. I don't want to say that they're tanking. I just want to say they're indifferent because, you know, you would want to get something back in return for Dalvin Cook. And if you're just like, all right, we're sick of this guy, let's just get rid of him. You have an eye towards the future, whether you want to admit it or not. And maybe that means, okay, we won seven games this year. The Wolves seem upset, but we can retool. We're a little bit higher up in the draft. It's going to be easier to trade up for a quarterback in a better quarterback class as well, as people are predicting. Like, all of those things have
always to... next year is a better quarterback.
I know. And then we get there and we're like, well, wait until you see next, like, wide receiver class. We just got done saying this, right? We looked at the wide receiver class. And everybody's like, yeah, there's some studs. And then it got here and we're like,
next year, Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, ready to see.
That dude's a stud though.
He's good though. Yeah.
I think they asked, what is it, Terry or Bisky? Is it Brian or Terry that's the elder one?
Terry.
Because he had a kid that was in the NFL, but I know the last name is Rubisky, but like, yeah, he's been at Ohio State forever. Mm-hmm. And I guess they asked him, they're like, who's the best receiver you ever coached? And he didn't even think, he's like, Marvin Harrison Jr. And he's still got a year left in college. Well, so
better than David Boston.
David Boston. I remember reading about David Boston, mm-hmm, and like the mm-hmm article was like, yeah, he's got his nipples pierced. And I'm like, people do that? And then he's got like, he had like two different colored eyes and he's just like this roided out, like Madden created player. And then like his body just exploded because he was on roids.
And he got suspended.
Yeah.
For PEDs. Surprise. I actually think the Vikings would be better off trading Daniel Hunter. I think, you know, just he's going to want a bunch of money. Like, you look at the top 10 edge rushers in the NFL, they're getting at least $20 million a year. Are you going to, you're going to give him $20 million a year when you have a bunch of other stuff to invest in? And I think the Brian Flores defense, yes, Daniel Hunter would be awesome in it. He would be great. But I think that's the style that Flores runs, where like everyone's aggressive. You don't necessarily need like a bona fide stud edge rusher. Like, because you're going to rush more than just four or more than just three when you're blitzing in Brian Flores defense. So, you know, Daniel Hunter might get better numbers in Flores defense, but I think the amount of money that you're investing in him, I don't think you're going to get that return that you think you're going to get from Hunter at his age and at his point in his career. I think you're better off trying to trade him, see what you can get. But it sounds like the Vikings want him back, but obviously at the same time, they want him back at the right price. They don't want to mortgage their future in a guy who, you know, probably doesn't have that many years left in the NFL. Moving on to the last topic, is the Vikings actually adding someone in free agency? His name is Juwan Williams, former cornerback of the New England Patriots. He missed the entire 2022 season with a shoulder injury, and he was drafted by the Patriots in 2019 in the second round out of Vanderbilt. I believe he's like 6'3", 210. So he's got some size, but he struggles in pass coverage. He's a good tackler. He's kind of struggled, and he was drafted the year that Brian Flores went to the Dolphins. So Brian Flores didn't get the chance to coach him. He might have had a hand in scouting him, like during the season before he left for the Dolphins. So there could be that kind of thing. And they ran a similar defense in New England when Flores left anyway. So he's familiar with some of the stuff that he runs. But is this signing, do you think, just a camp body, or do you think maybe he could actually kind of make any sort of impact for the Vikings in 2023?
It's one of those signings that's like a coach comes in and he just wants his guys who know his system, right? And I mean, for a guy like him coming off a lost season, he probably looked around and he goes, okay, I've only known the Patriots. What other place could I go that would help me be successful? And he landed in Minnesota. I'm not expecting this guy to be cornerback one, but the Vikings need bodies at cornerback right now. That is one of the concerns heading into the draft, because although Vikings seem to like Caleb Evans, he had three concussions. You have to be prepared in case he gets a fourth or some other injury. Andrew Booth, he said it himself, I've been injured since high school. When he was on the field last year, he didn't look good. Now, was that the injury? Was that whatever? Who knows? You have issues there. We joke about Chris Boyd all the time, but that's another body. That's another player that could have marched in.
Special team.
You lost Shannon Sullivan. You just got done saying Juwan Williams tackles well. That would look great on special teams, right?
Yeah, he got most of his snaps, I think, during his time with the Patriots on special teams. So that might be what they're looking at, to kind of maybe replace Chris Boyd and someone who actually has experience for a system too. So maybe that's what they're
looking
for.
I like the signing. I don't think it's like an earth shattering, like let's play in the Super Bowl parade. But I mean, it's the type of depth that Vikings need to add at corner, because there's not a lot of guys there. There's Byron Murphy and yeah.
He's a big guy too, 6'3", 210. That's big for a corner.
Mike Zimmer would love that.
I think he only runs like a 4.64, so he's gonna get burned if he's like in one-on-one situation. But I think in like goal line situations, red zones, even like covering maybe tight ends, he'd be good for that, to just kind of match up with those guys, because his length is larger than others. Do you think this addition affects the Vikings' plans, if they have any, of selecting a corner in the first round or in the first few rounds?
No. Yeah. If they want to take a corner in the first round, they're going to take a corner. Like I said, I think this is more of a depth signing than anything. We'll see. I mean, what are we now? 10, 11 days out from the draft?
Less than 2 weeks.
I'm starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, yeah. I'm exhausted. I don't know if it was like the Vikings offseason or what, but like, I'm just excited to see who gets drafted, who does what. Like, I'll probably get into mocks next week. Like, that'll probably
next week. You're getting into what, in a 2024 mocks?
In the way too early 2024 mock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't there a few rounder
by Dane Brugler today, who is awesome. So like, there are different types of mocks that I pay attention to. Dane Brugler is one of them, because he's got the beast, which is like this 1,000-page like scouting notebook, and it's awesome.
Who has the freak list?
Feldman. Bruce Feldman. Yeah, he's got the freak list. But like, Dane Brugler's got the beast, and like, yeah, there's just like information on info. Like, if you want to know what like a prospect did in middle school, it's in this thing. Like, it is awesome. I love it. So, and he was also kind enough to help me out with a story. So
there you go.
I gotta give him a plug.
I was just thinking of, before you brought that up, like the way too early mock drafts a couple years ago, and they did, I think Mache did one, and he had like Mitch Leidner as
Mitch,
like
Leidner,
first round
Gopher
pick.
Legend. First round. Oh man. And every Gopher fan was like, what are you doing, man? And he's like, come on, man, this is I'm doing this thing a year out in advance. What do you want from me? Like, even Dave Brugler's mock at the beginning, he's like, yeah, I didn't do trades, but I like just mapped out 239 picks. Like, calm down.
Yeah. More and more, I think the Vikings are trading down.
I agree.
Unless, I just saw today that I think it was Schefter who said that it's not going to be back-to-back quarterbacks or even quarterbacks in the first three picks. It's going to be like Bryce Young will be number one, and nice quarterback might go at four. And then I think Thor Nystrom added that it could be Will Levis at number four. So then you got CJ Stroud on the board and Anthony Richardson at five. And then one of those guys might drop to 10. So if that's the case, then the Vikings might trade up.
What is your, like, hey, get on the damn phone? Is it 10?
Yeah.
What is it?
10 is, yeah.
Like 8, 9, 10-ish, late top 10. See what you can do.
Yeah. If you're, yeah, like, I don't know, if you're the Falcon and CJ Stroud is there, like,
you're sprinting to the podium.
You're going
to
pick Desmond Ridder over CJ Stroud?
Sorry, buddy. Yeah. We like you, but we don't like you.
But yeah, more and more, like, unless that happens, the Vikings are trading back because they need picks. We know Kwesi likes to trade. And just like the difference between getting someone at 23 and probably 35, there's not going to be that much difference in this year's draft. Like it seems very top heavy in terms of the best prospects. Like you get a pick within the top 10, you're fine. Like after that, there's really not much of a difference, I don't think.
And it's similar to last year where the Vikings thought the sweet spot in the draft was that second round.
Yep.
It hasn't really shown up yet because injuries.
Maybe Ed Ingram will be good. Another year in the system.
It's going to be really, like, I feel like with he's a really good run blocker. Like, yeah. I'll give him that. I thought he was pretty solid in that.
And they seem to be wanting to run more.
The efficiency in the running game. There you go. I don't know. He's going to be one of the interesting players to watch this year. But
I think it's going to be a weird draft. I think the first pick everyone pretty much knows is going to probably be Bryce Young. And then after that, I don't know what's going to happen. Like it's because there aren't a lot of guys that are really that, you know, like you're not going to get a guy and be like, okay, he's going to be good. He's going to be a 10-year pro. You don't know. Even with Bryce Young, you just don't know.
Yeah.
It all depends where these guys land. So that's going to do it for today. That's all we got. Thursday, we'll have some more stuff. They're going to play a little draft game on Thursday. Get more excited for that as it quickly approaches because it'll be a week from Thursday where the first round in Kansas City be taking place. Draft this year. That'll be interesting. It's probably going to smell amazing at the draft.
Oh, yeah. That barbecue.
But until then, make sure to subscribe to our channel on here on YouTube and like the videos. And then follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. And then the audio version of this podcast will be available. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, hopefully I'll be better. Chris and I talk to you later.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.